Tomorrow is World Mental Health Day, a global effort to reduce stigma and to encourage people to seek help and support. It comes amid a push from Prime Minister Scott Morrison to work towards a zero suicide goal. While politicians pursue goals like that publicly, many, in fact, struggle with their own private mental health issues. The independent Tasmanian Senator Jackie Lambie has been open about overcoming mental health and substance abuse issues, and she's agreed to talk to us about that this morning to mark this occasion. Jackie Lambie, welcome back to breakfast.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm really well, thank you, Jackie, although the voice doesn't sound that. You've made a decision that you are willing to talk about some of this stuff that you've been through. Why?
Because there is a stigma out there, and you know, when you've been through some hard times, I think it's better off to go out there and talk to, talk to others about it. There's millions of Australians out there that at one time or another have had either mental health issues or been through a really difficult time in their lives. And I think by locking yourself away and not talking about it does not help you to recover or heal through the process. So for me, I just want the stigma out of the way, and I want everyone to be able to talk about it, especially more difficult for men to talk about their mental health issues. So, you know, I think the more people out there talking about it, the better off we're all going to be.
Have you found that as you've started to talk about some of this stuff more publicly, that people have been more willing to come to you and talk about it?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I talk about my circumstances, it opens it up to many things. I think not just the mental illness, but also what my son went through. I get a lot of people that are having problems with their children or their nephew or their brother or their sister that have got drug and alcohol issues. So it opens up a whole new perspective for many people out there, and they're very comfortable in talking to me about that. And I need to know. That's how you gather information out there, Hamish. That's how I know there is not enough mental health facilities out there. There's not enough counsellors, not enough psychologists, not enough rehabilitation beds. You get a lot of feedback on that, and I think when you've got your boots on the ground a lot, that in itself is, that's priceless to be able to have that information and know that this is exactly what is going on in society. And I'm not just talking about Burnie in Tasmania, it's right across the nation.
Yeah, I mean, particularly as you travel through regional Australia, what do you hear from people about the lack of access to support?
Yeah, it doesn't matter where you go in rural or regional Australia, there is lack of support out there right across the board. And, I think what these politicians need to realise is, they can sit there and brag about a surplus, but I'm telling you, I don't hear them bragging about the mental health issues or the rehabilitation centres they're putting up or the psychologists they're putting in our schools or the counsellors they're putting out there for our kids and getting onto this. It's all about early intervention, and they're not getting that. And by the time anybody does get help, if you're waiting 5 or 6 weeks, it is too late. And then if you're waiting for another 5 or 6 weeks for your second appointment, it is too late. Everything is too late. And I can tell you now, it's not helping that person. That person will become, their mental health issues will become worse, and it actually costs a lot more in the long run. And that's providing that we can actually get in just early enough to be able to help try to turn their lives around and get them back on their feet again. And for me, that's the Australian way. And I always thought it was about, if you see somebody that's not coping, then, give them a helping hand. I think a lot of people find it difficult too, that if your arm's not in a sling or you're not seeing the illness, that the illness isn't there. And, that's not a way of looking at it either. That's not a way of going forward. So it's not that difficult to sit down and say to somebody, hey, you're not looking real well this morning. What's going on, girlfriend, or what's going on, mate?
Mm. There was a time back in 2009 when it was almost too late for you. What were the circumstances?
Yeah, so I think for me, after I'd left the armed forces, it's quite difficult to be able to transition as it is. And then I went from there under Veterans Affairs. I'd had a fairly good wage for 10 years and had to go on welfare as well and fight a government department. And doing that for 8 or 9 years, finally I was reduced to absolutely nothing. I was basically just reduced to an empty human shell. It's a really, really dark place to be for a long period of time. So for me, in the end, I just had nothing left, and the only thing I did have left was my faith. In the last few weeks of that, I seemed to lose that. So for me, I had nothing. You feel no worth, and therefore, you know, I'm just one of the many that have either. For me, I walked out in front of a car. There's many others out there that, you know, take overdoses because they're already taking antipsychotics or antidepressants. So it is a really difficult world to live in. And as well as that, when you go through something like that, you tend to. You actually feel really embarrassed and really low, and you push everybody away from you. You push your family away. You push your friends away, and it can become a very, very lonely existence.
Do you think much about or reflect much on the fact that you had actually sat down and written a letter to your sons saying goodbye?
Yeah, I do think about that, not as much as I used to, obviously. For me, I can go back on my past and I can reflect on that, and I can use that to help others. But I'm one of the lucky ones that's been able to turn my life around and to be able to get back on with it. So, you know, these people, I mean, my dearest friend out there, she suffers from bipolar terribly. And, you know, I think I have a lot to do with her. I've known her since I was since I was in a cot. So I think sometimes even when I am having a bit of a low down and I get around her, I think, you know what, I'm really blessed. I'm actually really, really lucky that mine was major depression. I've been able to move on for that. I've been able to get treatment for my back finally. And that's kept my head above water. But it can be really, really difficult out there.
I read quite an interesting quote from you in relation to a scar on your leg, saying that you'd refuse to get it fixed. Would you share with us why?
Yeah, so for me, I have a scar on my forehead and I have one on my leg from walking out in front of the car. And I think for me, they're battle scars and what I went through. I don't want to forget that. I'm sure I'll never forget it anyway, but it just reminds me every morning what I get up and fight for. And I get up every morning to fight for those less vulnerable that are put in those sort of situations that don't have a voice anymore because they've got nothing else left. They're just empty human shells.
I'm interested in your observation of mental health issues in our politics because presumably, I mean, statistically, you can't be the only one that's been through this. There are a lot of people in Canberra representing all of us in Australia. How prevalent do you think these issues are?
I think they'd be very prevalent. I guess if everyone has their different circumstances. I guess in politics, if you've been there a long time, especially, I guess, if you've been in those ministries or you're sitting on the front bench, there you are wearing a lot on your shoulders. And I'm quite sure that there are many politicians up there that feel that and they have their down days. It would be nice to hear them come out and speak about that and put the awareness out there a little bit more. I'm certainly not the only one that's been a politician, whether it's state or federal, that has had mental health issues or suffering from them today. And it would be nice for them to come out and be brave. Even talk about them, and I can tell you it's part of the healing process and part of the recovery.
You play the game of politics pretty hard and fast. Do you reckon that's part of the problem? Do you think that for some people that contributes to the sense of isolation, the loneliness of being in politics?
Yeah, but I think whether in politics or whether you're a person on welfare, you know, it comes down to the same thing. It's loneliness, whether you're overworked or whether you're just not leaving the house. You know, you just trying to get on with the daily grind and you're just not dealing with it very well. And before you know it, it catches up with you and then it'll drag you down really quickly when you should have been on the front foot. But you don't see that most of the time until it's very, very late. You might have other people saying around you, I'm a little bit concerned, is everything okay? And they go, yeah, no, I'm good. I'm good. I'm great. Everything's fine. You know, and you actually think you're fine. And then, it turns pretty quickly and it can get very, very nasty.
Do you still have some dark days?
No, not for me. I think that, I sort of brag that I had 500 or 600 hours worth of psychology and psychiatry over that amount of time, mate. And my psychologist, the last time I seen him, I think was about 3 years ago. And he basically said, you really don't need to see me anymore. So I don't know if that means that that I'm cured or whether he's just spent that many hours on me, mate. He just can't fix me. So, you know, I try not to look back on that. But I can tell you now, you have to get help. You can't battle that. You can't battle mental illness by yourself. Open up and go. And even if you push everybody else away, if you can get some counselling, which is very difficult for many out there, or get some psychology, don't just go once and think that that's going to cure it, because you've got to work with your psychologist. You've got to work alongside your counsellor. Both of you have to work together to get the result that you need.
Jackie Lambie, I think there's a lot of feedback already from people appreciating your honesty, your candour this morning. I know it's not easy to talk about these matters, but we do appreciate it.
Oh, you're very welcome, and I hope you get over your man flu.
Toughen up, is that what you're saying, Jackie?
Well, I wasn't going to, because it's Mental Health Day tomorrow, so I was going to back it off a little bit. But yeah, you can harden up a little bit, Hamish. Get on with it.
Jackie Lambie is the Federal Senator for Tasmania. Of course, if you are struggling with any of the issues raised in this interview, you can call Lifeline. The number is 13 11 14.